Hi, welcome to the Coach's Show from the Campus Lounge, a Pioneer institution year after year after year. Jay Stickney joined by the head coach, David Carl. Got a big show here tonight. It's actually the last show for the DU hockey season here at the Campus Lounge. It's the last weekend of the regular season for the Pioneer hockey team, but of course, trying to play right up until about the middle of April. And joining me, head coach, David Carl. And Coach, really seems like the Olympics hockey might have overshadowed college hockey for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I would say so, which is not a bad thing, given we had a double gold. So great thing for our country, and again, proving that we are, I think, the best hockey-playing nation on the planet now.
It was crazy. I mean, I've gotten up early to, watch, certain events over the years, but there was like that was like one of those no doubters. Like, you're getting up early to watch this. It was like, it felt like, especially as a hockey fan, like it was a national badge of honor to get up that early and watch some hockey.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course, you grew up in Alaska, where all the sports.
Yeah, we really didn't watch the NFL because of the time change.
They were done. It's like, I remember going to Anchorage and Fairbanks. I'm like, okay, where's the sports bar? For the day off, they're like,
there are no sports bars because the sports start at 2 in the afternoon.
the games are over.
It's actually a really strange thing.
It is very strange.
But yeah, we were up early, whole family watching the game. It was obviously an entertaining game. I don't think we necessarily played our best in front of Connor Hellebuck, but he was the best player on the ice. And they don't ask how. So
gold medals around their necks. I told a couple of people I know. I've covered a couple national championship games for DU where our goalie essentially stole the game, if not the whole tournament. Right? Yeah. Going back to like Adam Burkle and such. And look at Matty Davis against BC, and not to say that it was as dominant as maybe the Canadians were against the Americans.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. But so I totally get it. I mean, you get a great goalie, anybody can beat anybody.
Absolutely. Tavis always says, never apologize for good goaltending. You'll take it when you can get it.
He told me never apologize.
Exactly.
Okay, he just left it at that. Yeah.
Happy for everybody. And it was a very entertaining game. And obviously a heck of a finishing goal. And again, to do the double gold first time for our country was a great feat. And it's been a heck of a run that USA Hockey's been on the last 4 or 5 years.
And what's so strange on the opposite spectrum is like the women's hockey team was so dominant.
Yeah.
That going into that championship game, which you always knew was going to be Canada, I felt this overwhelming confidence this time they were going to win. So when they were down 1-0 late, I was like, it was more of like a shock.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and they've really dominated that rivalry series going into the Olympic tournament, and scores weren't close. They didn't really have any games that were as close as the gold medal game, and kind of the exact opposite, the underdog, up in that game, and then they find a way to tie it and win the game in overtime. So both obviously really exciting games, heck of a finish by Keller, the defenseman, to make the great offensive play and score on the Canadians. And they've had obviously a wonderful run through the Olympics, and happy for our girls and women that work so hard to be able to, again, to kind of set the stage for then the men's championship. And for it to be, double gold against the Canadians, both the women and the men, I think makes it all that much sweeter.
Yeah, and on top of that, I saw a great stat. Didn't take a lot of math, but to know that both teams scored on their first shot of the game and the last shot of the game, obviously, in overtime.
Yes.
Both teams. And I just thought that was amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Against Canada. Well, that's what I'm here for. When Ron's not around, I'm responsible for coming up with this
stuff. Well, you flourish.
Thank you. Yes. But, yeah, so that was a great stat, too. First shot of the game, score. This is going to be easy. Oh, we don't score again until we win it at the end. Now, what are your thoughts? I heard what John Cooper said and about the 3-on-3 in the overtime. And I do sort of agree that in the gold medal or perhaps even in the medal round in general, that first overtime should be a 5-on-5, even if they abbreviated it and made it a 10-minute or something of that nature. I think it's all for discussion.
Yeah. We won a World Junior gold medal in 3-on-3 with Stiga. That game, interestingly enough, went, I think, 9 minutes into the 20-minute overtime. So it was it was a little bit longer that our game went, but which is why Stieg was on the ice. But, you know, I guess, yeah, it's for everyone to discuss and talk about. But, and I didn't, I thought probably Coop's quotes were, you know, like anything in today's world, things get just parceled out for anybody's own storyline that they want to run with. And, you know, I thought what he said was all fine and good. I mean, he talked about these are the rules we all signed up for. I mean, yeah. He really wasn't complaining about it.
Thing.
It sounds that way. It would have sounded different if Mike Sullivan had said, yeah. You know, the game shouldn't be decided in overtime, 3-on-3.
And also, you got pro players with big-time contracts that are out there playing overtime, and you don't want them going 2-3 regular overtimes in any game.
I don't know. I think you – it's hard when you have games on, like, the same day, say the semifinals. You're playing – you know, you have a semifinal day, and if the first semifinal goes 2-3 overtimes, which we've talked about in our tournament with the Frozen Four, because you had the 5-overtime game, Duluth and in North Dakota a couple in the COVID year, and that was a regional final, so there's no game after for them to either of them to have to play or a team to wait on. But I think that's where it gets challenging for the continuous overtime at 5-on-5, and that's a, you know, I think everybody holds their breath, and we've been a part of, you know, 2 double overtime games and in the Frozen Four, and the BU game is an overtime game as well, but UMass and Western Michigan, you know, if those games push, now it pushes the start time in the next game back, and I think that becomes the concern. But when you don't have a game behind you, you know, I think there's certainly some more flexibility to be able to play the 5-on-5 overtime.
Well, and again, when they changed that rule at the regional very recently, I'm going to say it's within 5 years.
Yeah, the day off.
Of the day off between the two, because I remember many of those teams, like with Jason Zucker and
Western Michigan game.
And you're playing double overtime.
Yeah, we went 3-2 against Western and Green Bay, and they waxed RPI 6-1, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
We don't get back until, you know, we don't get back until probably 1 a.m, you know, to be able to finally get in bed. And then the fire alarms go off.
Yeah, yeah. And, North Dakota fans.
Exactly, at the Aloft there.
Or Green Bay Packer fans.
Who
I
remember.
Don't
remember. Yeah, yeah.
You were living there, though. You were coaching there at the time.
No, I was with DU.
At that point?
At that point,
okay.
Yes. That was 2011.
It was 2 trips to Green Bay.
Yes, it was 2.
And one you were coaching the Green Bay Gamblers, and one you were with the staff.
I don't remember the one I was coaching in Green Bay, because we would have been out of town.
Okay.
But certainly I remember the Western Michigan win, where you're down 2-0, you know, for a long time, and came back tied it late, and obviously won in overtime. So,
but I do like that rule that they've done that with the regional. Obviously, Loveland's the regional. You guys are in good position right now to be there again after this winning streak. And getting back right into DU hockey, obviously you had the bye weekend last weekend, but before that you sweep at Omaha. 6-0-1 in your last 7 games, completely turned around the ship. What's been the key other than the obvious Johnny Hicks?
Yeah, he's been a big part of it. When you get 9.65 save percentage, makes it a little bit easier to win hockey games, and he's been wonderful coming in and doing his thing under a lot of pressure, you know, to not play at all really in the first half and get some moments in the second half, but then to get the opportunity to really get the ball and run with it, he's been wonderful. For us, and I think giving the team a lot of confidence. On top of that, I think we're just a little bit more consistent within the details of our game to be more predictable and give up less at 5-on-5 and not hand deliver things to, you know, the other team. We really haven't done that since that Friday St. Cloud game when we were up in the game, and then we really melted down a few times and hand delivered them goals, and that was a big part of the stretch run where we, you know, lost or went winless for 5 to 7 games, whatever it was. You know, so I think we've hopefully rooted that out of our game. You never know how we're going to be coming off the bye week, but I think our guys, you know, used it well, rested, and we're excited to get into the final weekend of the year.
Yeah, and then to see some of your seniors, I mean, you haven't had a lot of seniors over the last few seasons, but guys like Rieger Lorenz and Samu Salminen that all of a sudden are putting the puck in the back of the net. I mean, Rieger's on a heater right now.
Yeah, you hope that the bye week doesn't cool him off. And, you know, he's had a good week of practice this week. But, yeah, to see that, you know, the elevation, and you'll talk to him later here tonight, but to see him really elevate his game late into his senior year, him and Salmon and being put on a line just a little while ago, and I think they're doing a really nice job together, both a big part of our penalty kill, power play, and 5-on-5. So
you changed up the lines when you guys were going through that big losing streak, and all of a sudden you changed the lines. I don't think you've lost since then.
Yeah, you can maybe attribute a little bit to that.
I mean, I put that in my story.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Sure.
I think it certainly helped Rieger, for sure, and, you know, Sam Harris as well. That line has sparked a little bit with him and Epperson and Caswell. So, no, I think we're just getting more balance. Our fourth line's been excellent. They've started the last Elburn, Fisher, and Burrows. They've added a lot of energy to the group as well, playing a little bit more. And, you know, I just think we're getting contributions all over our lineup, and everybody feels like they are contributing to the wins. And that's a good thing to have this time of year.
All right, Jay Stickney with David Carl here at the Campus Lounge, the final coaches show of this hockey season. We'll take a break. Come back after this at the Campus Lounge.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and carbonation elevates the taste for a truly stunning flavor profile. Bon appétit.
Now that is one perfect combination. If this is how the other half lives, I could get used to this. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
Hi, this is Todd Usry, president of Breckenridge Brewery. When we settled into Littleton, we wanted it to feel like home to everyone who visited. So we built the Farmhouse Restaurant. The comfort food menu is made to complement the fresh beer brewed right here on site. My personal favorite spot is the beer garden. I love sitting next to the fire, listening to bluegrass with a beer, looking out at the open mountain view. Stop by on the weekends for brunch or come see us anytime. Check out breckbrew.com for more info. You're at the Farmhouse, you're always in good company.
Healthcare with human kindness is here. It's at Common Spirit Health. Hospitals, clinics, and caregivers all connected to advance healthcare in Colorado, Kansas, and Utah. Together, we have a common purpose, partnering with you in health and healing using powerful medicine, powerful technology, and the greatest power of all, human kindness. You'll know it when you see it, because human kindness is in every care site and in every caregiver. Common Spirit Health. Hello, human kindness.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and carbonation elevates the taste for a truly stunning flavor profile. Bon appétit.
Now that is one perfect combination. If this is how the other half lives, I could get used to this. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
Hi, welcome back to the Campus Lounge. Pioneer Institution right in the corner, University and Exposition. Last coaches show from the Campus Lounge for this hockey season. The Pioneers last regular season weekend coming up against Arizona State this Friday and Saturday night at Magnus Arena. Puck drop 7:07 Friday night and 6:07 on Saturday night. And Coach, you've already played ASU. Of course, those games in Tempe are legendary. I think four of the last six have gone to overtime. Usually there's more scoring than an NBA game, and it's just absolute insanity. Not too different this year. You win 7-1 the first night and then lose it in overtime the second night. But every time you play Arizona State, it just seems like the stats and everything else kind of go out the window. This is a team, though, that has really been struggling, had a horrible injury to one of the best players in the NCHC. And Colin Potter, when he went out on January 10th, and then after he went out, they've lost now 6 out of 7. They lost 6 in a row, and they finally won on Saturday against Omaha. But clearly a team that still has a lot of firepower. They have two of the best scorers in the country with Cruz Lucius and Bennett Schimmick. But losing Potter seems to be the tipping point for this team.
Yeah, it's been obviously a huge loss for them, and not only him, but Beck as well. Was a really good player for them. Came in from pro hockey, so professional on their team. That was playing for him and playing really good hockey. So you lose those two guys. I believe they are getting back Whitehead for the weekend. But, you know, you lose two of your best offensive catalysts, and it makes it really challenging and puts a lot of weight on, obviously, Shimmick and Lucius, who are, you know, world-class in our league, probably all-conference team players for sure with the production that they've put up. And, you know, both guys were very dangerous, have been very dangerous anytime we've played them this year. And so, yeah, it is always entertaining games for sure. They swept us in this building. You know, last year we were 12-0 going into that weekend, defending champions and ranked number one in the country. And I think they came in at 4-7, and that really got their season kind of kick-started. And, you know, now we both have a lot on the line coming into the weekend. We're, you know, still in the mix for the Penrose Cup, albeit a very long shot. Western Michigan would need to sweep North Dakota. We would need to sweep ASU. We'd lose the tiebreaker to Western. We'd be co-champions.
So you get the trophy like every other week.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's two of them, actually,
okay.
that they made. But
they made two?
Exactly. And then for them, you know, it's the last year that the ninth team in our league will not make the playoffs. So they're sitting in eighth, a point ahead of Omaha, and Omaha's playing Miami. So there's a lot on the line. You know, they don't want this to be their last weekend of the year. We would love to finish in second place. If we get all 6 points, that's what happens for us. We have to outpoint Western on the weekend, as we're tied with them in points, and obviously they play North Dakota. So there's a lot on the line. I love this new playoff format because we're fighting to be the hosts in the semifinal round. We already know that we'll be a host in the quarterfinal round, not this weekend, but next weekend. And then if we can lock up second place, then we would have a single game semifinal. We've moved away from St. Paul in the frozen faceoff. We're bringing that to campus sites. You know, we believe here at Denver is a wonderful thing for our fans to see playoff hockey, as the higher seeds will host all the way through. It went from a 2-week tournament to a 3-week tournament. And so there's a race at one, there's a race at two, there's a race at four, and there's also a race at eight. So I think it's made it much more compelling and kept everybody in the fight for longer with things on the line.
Yeah, and even though they might meet up again in the conference playoffs, Western Michigan and North Dakota, I believe, are 3-4 right now in the NPI rankings, which would each give them a number one seed in the four NCAA regionals. So they're playing for that this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. They certainly are. And, you know, if either one of them, say, wins the series, you know, by getting, you know, 4 out of the 6 points or even more, 5 or 6 out of 6, I think that probably really solidifies that one seed for them, as long as they get past their quarterfinal round. Once you get to the semifinal, you know, in the conference tournament, losing to a really high-quality team, likely a tournament team, whether that be, you know, us, North Dakota, Western Michigan, or Duluth, it's not going to hurt you all that much in the MPI. So, you know, they're looking at it for sure as an opportunity to lock up the one seed for North Dakota. That means probably locking in going to Sioux Falls, where a regional is, and obviously for Western Michigan, they know the value of being a one seed last year and the perks and the benefits that come with that at the regional sites.
Yeah, when you went up to Loveland and won it a couple seasons ago, did you guys just, you know, kind of go up the day of, or did you spend the night?
I can't remember if we played Thursday or Friday. We'll just call it Friday. We went up Thursday morning. We skated in Denver on Wednesday. Went up Thursday morning, got settled in the hotel, had lunch up there, then went over to the rink, practiced, did a team dinner outside the hotel on Thursday night, and then played our game Friday, had the off day Saturday.
I remember that golf course. It was like
a nice
golf course.
Yeah.
Yes, steak,
yes,
exactly. Golf course. That was nice.
Yeah.
I mean, they never had me as a member, but still, it was a beautiful place.
Don't sell yourself
It was
short.
A great place there. But that was great, and obviously you guys have a chance really to be – you know, a two seed if things go your way, or a three seed if you lose a couple games. So it seems like you're kind of locked into that two or three at this point.
Yeah, I don't think we can get up to a one, but you know, certainly within a two is within reach. We obviously need to do well this weekend and do well in the quarterfinal round and probably make it to the championship game. Of our league playoff to be able to solidify that. We probably need some help. Teams in front of us, Quinnipiac, Providence, Duluth, Penn State, you know, to falter a little bit to be able to pass them as well. So a lot in the balance still for seeding and, you know, really all that means. I mean, it should mean home ice, but it doesn't. And really all that means is last change in the first game and maybe a little bit better locker room.
Yeah, and, you know, I think again, you've been in so many situations where you've had to go back east or places like that where you're the one seed and you got to play a team that's 5 minutes away, you know, and now you have the opportunity to really kind of turn that around, not necessarily as a four seed, but even being, if you end up being a two or a three seed, who cares about the last shift?
Yeah, it's, I mean, we were the three seed a year ago playing Providence and BC in their backyard, and, you know, we haven't had last change in a lot of the big, you know, Mankato, BC, BU, Western Michigan, you know, we didn't have last change in all those games. And so I think our guys probably thrive and truthfully do better when we don't have it, because they just know that everybody's got to go play against everybody's best players. And I think that elevates everybody's focus and intensity throughout the game.
So going with Arizona State this Friday and Saturday night, they still have a very strong power play. They seem like year in and year out, they always have a good power play. How important is it for you to stay out of the box?
Yeah, it's critical for us, and especially this time of year, you can probably take two or three minors. You certainly can't afford to take a major penalty this time of year. Not only the risk of losing the body, but obviously the five-minute power play that you'd have to kill off. And for them, they do generate a lot of their momentum. You know, the likes of Lucius and Shimmick, when they're touching the puck a lot on the power play, they start to feel good about themselves, and they're very dangerous in those situations. So trying to limit it, keep it to five-on-five hockey is certainly, we think, a benefit to us in our game.
Now, like you said, you had a bye weekend, so a couple things could happen. Either you come back rested, a lot of the bumps and bruises sort of ironed out, or you come back and you're really rusty and flat for a period or so.
You asking me which one?
Yeah, which one's going to be?
You can ask the guys that when they come on. But I think we'll be
coaching experience. How do you feel?
Yeah, we're usually pretty good coming out of bye weeks, and
especially this late. How great was that?
Yeah, I like the week of practice we had, and I think the guys did a good job taking care of themselves, and you know, they got to watch some good hockey around the league. They got to watch Olympic hockey.
How was that in the locker room with it being split as it is?
Yeah, you've got, you know, two guys who had rooting interests, and unfortunately for them, their countries did not win.
Right.
And so you can ask them that. But I think the guys got into it. I know Rieger had, I think a bunch of the Canadians all went over to their house to watch the gold medal game. So it wasn't like the whole team together. I think it was a little bit split that way between nationality. And there hasn't been too much banter about it this week at all.
I remember when I first started, and it was pretty much half and half, guys from Minnesota and guys from Canada. And I'll never forget the Minnesota Twins made the World Series, and all the Canadian players on the DU team bought hats for the National League team that Minnesota was playing.
just to root against
Minnesota.
It was a little bit of that way with your Dodgers.
I know. Everyone hates the Dodgers.
And the Jays.
And we started our first broadcast, remember?
We did.
It was like game five or six.
Yeah, you could hardly focus.
And that's where my professionalism coming in.
Yes.
And you know what it's like when your team's in like the championship every year. You know, you get a little bit numb to it.
Yeah.
So that's what happens.
You're spoiled.
I know, very, very spoiled. So what are we going to see Friday and Saturday night, last regular season weekend? And as we said, the way things are going right now, you might actually play Arizona State for another two games after this, or you can end up playing CC. You can end up playing Miami, Omaha.
Yeah, there's a lot that can happen still. I think the only team that is locked into their spot is Duluth at four, and everybody else can still, you know, us, North Dakota, Western, can all finish anywhere from, we're 2-3, they're 1-3 each, you know, and then you've got Miami, St. Cloud, Omaha, ASU, and CC that, you know, any one of them could miss. St. Cloud, I think, is a lock to be in the playoffs, but any of the other four could still miss depending on the weekends they have. CC's up at Duluth, Miami's at Omaha, and then obviously ASU is here.
And without naming a specific team that, you know, you may want or not want, is it a situation where it's always more dangerous to play a team three or four times in a row?
We've seemed to have done it a lot with CC.
Yeah, a lot.
Over the last number of years. And so I don't know. I think it's fine. Our guys would be fine with it if it ended up being Arizona State. You know, and odds are we've played all these teams very recently outside of Miami. We just played St. Cloud. We just played CC. We just played Omaha. And obviously we're playing ASU. So I think regardless of what happens, our guys will be familiar with the opponent. And it's the best time of year because it's the hardest time of year to put teams away and to try and end their seasons and send them home. So it's not an easy task. And that's certainly what we've been up against the last couple weekends with CC and Omaha, trying to put a dent in their ability to make the playoffs. We did a great job of it, and now we have an opportunity to try and learn that, you know, continue to build that habit and that learned behavior here with Arizona State coming into our building.
Yeah, I'm excited about that new, you know, one and done on the campus sites that we've never seen before.
Yeah, it's worked at other Big Ten does it, CCHA. Do it. Atlantic Hockey does it. Now we are doing it. The only teams not will be the Hockey East and ECAC.
All right. Well, Coach, you know, this is our last Campus Lounge Coaches Show of the year. I mean, looking back, you know, what are your fond memories or what are some of your regrets about doing this?
Well, I think it's great to get back with you, Jay.
Oh, always.
I've really missed our time together.
We haven't had enough.
Before the games and after the games.
Yeah, but I usually text
on
you.
The road.
Like, I text you like at 2:30 in the morning, like four times a week.
Yes, I'm sleeping.
Yes.
Unless the two-year-old has me up.
Yes.
But, it's been great to spend time with you, Jay.
I appreciate it. And Saturday night, I'm doing the TV, going to lather up the makeup and the spackle on the forehead and get out there.
Beautiful. You look great.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. All right, that's head coach David Carr. We're coming back with a couple of the seniors, Samu Salminen and Rieger Lorenz. This is the Coach's Show at the Campus Lounge on 104.3 The Fan.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and carbonation elevates the taste for a truly stunning flavor profile. Bon appetit.
Now that is one perfect combination. If this is how the other half lives, I could get used to this. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
Hi, this is Todd Usry, president of Breckenridge Brewery. When we settled into Littleton, we wanted it to feel like home to everyone who visited. So we built the Farmhouse Restaurant. The comfort food menu is made to complement the fresh beer brewed right here on site. My personal favorite spot is the beer garden. I love sitting next to the fire, listening to bluegrass with a beer, looking out at the open mountain view. Stop by on the weekends for brunch or come see us anytime. Check out breckbrew.com for more info. Here at the Farmhouse, you're always in good company.
Healthcare with human kindness is here. It's at Common Spirit Health. Hospitals, clinics, and caregivers all connected to advance healthcare in Colorado, Kansas, and Utah. Together, we have a common purpose, partnering with you in health and healing using powerful medicine, powerful technology, and the greatest power of all, human kindness. You'll know it when you see it, because human kindness is in every care site and in every caregiver. Common Spirit Health. Hello, human kindness.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and carbonation elevates the taste for a truly stunning flavor profile. Bon appetit.
Now that is one perfect combination. If this is how the other half lives, I could get used to this. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
Hi, Jay Stickney back at the Campus Lounge, a Pioneer institution for many, many seasons. Of course, once owned and co-founded by Pioneer great goaltender Jim Wistie. And now the Pioneer players coming in. We've got Rieger Lorenz and Samu Salminen, both seniors. And both of you guys have been here for about, 7 years now. And obviously I saw you both made like the honor student role list. And why do you think that is? I mean, how many years did it take you to find class?
Find class?
Like the library and
yeah, I think maybe like my junior year.
Yeah, but you've really picked it up academically. Do you think it's because now you're taking classes like beginning ceramics and things of that nature, or has it gotten harder?
It's gotten a little bit easier, I think, as I've gone. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a good chem. Like, we are listening to the other guys when they have what classes they're taking, and if they have good professors.
And you transferred to Denver, so how, what was that like, the difference academically, having to start all over again? as far as, you know, learning the classes and stuff?
Well, I feel the school is a little bit, it's similar everywhere. It was a little bit easier to come here because I already knew the language. And
yeah,
I was
see, when I went
to school
in Finland and I didn't know how to speak it, it was really hard.
Well, I assume so.
Really difficult. But so
the older guys helped last year to find the good classes, and we have really good staff for the academic department.
And you guys, too. I mean, it's your senior year, you know, hypothetically your last kick at the can, and yet you're both playing at the highest levels, I think, that you've played at ever. I mean, you're on a heater right now. You've got five goals, you know, five consecutive games with a goal, 7 points in the last five games, 8 points in the last seven. And you know, and obviously points don't mean everything, but, you know, it seems like you guys are playing your best hockey now.
Yeah, I feel like it's just confidence, obviously. You know, you play enough games, you're going to score a couple of goals. You know, I just think it's confidence. Obviously, we've both been in the league for 4 years now. We know what to expect every night. Obviously, the first 2 years of your career, you kind of get a little bit anxious before games, stuff like that. But, you know, there's none of that anymore. We know what to expect. And, yeah, just super happy to be helping the team out on the score sheet every night. And, yeah, no, it's been good.
Yeah, it was 7 games heater. It's good that we found that confidence right now. Like, some teams might have a good confidence and good winning streaks early in the year, but when it matters the most, they kind of like choke up or something. We are happy. We're trying to just work on it and build from it. Yeah.
And you guys have really, both of your careers have had one thing in common, and that is you're both two of the elite penalty killers on the team. You're almost always out there on the penalty kill. You've both created a tremendous amount of chances and or goals when you've scored. And if Jared Wright could ever finish, just think how many more assists you would have had on all those other penalty killing opportunities. But what is it about the PK that brings out the best in you?
I think it's just kind of taking pride in that. Obviously, me, before I came into college, I think I was a pretty one-dimensional offensive player. I think the coaching staff kind of instilled that, you know, I need to do on both ends of the ice. You know, there's a learning curve in my first year there, and I can really bought into that the last 3 years. So, you know, I think when I'm playing my best, I'm doing it on both ends of the ice. And yeah, no, I just think like PK kind of asked that as well. Yeah,
that's what Rieger said. It's more like a pride thing. I know, so playing power play, like how annoying those people, those players are in other teams. Who can shut you down, and like it always gives good momentum for the team as well. Those are, yes, important moments as the scoring goals and stuff. So
yeah, I think it's one of the most underrated parts of hockey. Everybody talks about scoring on the power play, but you look at, you know, situations like a 5-on-3 or even a 5-on-4 where you keep the other team from scoring. And then I don't know what the odds are, but when you do score shorthanded, I think the team wins something like 75% of the game.
Yeah, no, I believe it, especially, you know, in college with all the 5-minute majors and stuff like that. So it's a pretty crucial part of the game. You know, if you take a 5-minute major and the team scores twice, you know, that could be your night. And every game matters so much in college hockey. So, yeah.
And also, you guys, I mean, think about it this way, too. When you came in and maybe you're 18, 19, 20, I don't know. But, you know, and I'm not checking your fake ID right now. you know, that's fine. But it's like you guys then get in the weight room, get in the strength and conditioning. Now that you're seniors, I mean, do you feel physically bigger or stronger than most of the guys that are out there?
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, 4 years of Matt Shaw, you know, your body transforms.
What a sadist.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what he does is illegal in a lot of countries.
Oh, yeah. No, so, I believe it. No, but he's awesome for all the guys on our team, you know, transforming our bodies, you know, letting us be the players that we want to be, not having any limitations physically. So I can't say enough good things about what he does for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember seeing both of you an underclassmen, and, you know, you're like skinny, tall hockey players. Oh, yeah. And now you're just all, you know, filling out. And and it kind of brings up the other question. You both came in as high draft picks. Samo, New Jersey, third round. You're the Wild, second round. You know, how important is it to you guys looking forward knowing you've had a really good senior year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to have confidence going into your pro hockey career. I think, you know, like the biggest thing for both me and Samu, we talked about a little bit, is just, you know, having pride that we left this place better than we found it. Especially, you know, being a senior, you know, being an important part of the team this year especially. Just making sure that we give back to the program, and all, obviously, you know, guys have given a lot to us, whether, you know, it's wisdom, stuff like that. So just leading the program better than we found it, we take a big lot of pride in that.
The culture you see when you come in as a younger kid, and you see all the older guys, how they present this program, like why this program is successful, how they win, and why they win. Once you get older and you see that you have more responsibility as a leader and a lot of more eyes are on you on that perspective. So of course you want to represent that as good as you can. And also when you leave, those older guys, a lot of younger guys, they can step on that role as well. And we have really good younger kids already who done that. But just in general, it's a little bit different when you get older and you start to feel that pressure.
Oh yeah, wait till you hit 40. Oh my goodness. Wow. Wow.
Exactly 40.
40. I mean, I'm what now? 43? And
yeah,
it's painful.
32.
It's painful. And I was going to tell you guys too, like, you're kind of the last generation of the non-NIL world that is now infested or invigorated college sports, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's played a big role in hockey, but not nearly as it has in some of the other sports. But, yeah, when you guys came in, I mean, it wasn't any of the type of stuff that the freshmen or even sophomores are seeing now.
Yeah, it's obviously a lot different. I think it kind of plays into our hand pretty nicely. I think Denver always gets kids that don't worry about the money. They worry about the culture, worry about winning, development. You know, so you see the guys that we brought in this year, the guys we're going to bring in next year, the coaches talk about them a little bit. Like, no one's asking about money, which is a pretty cool thing, I think.
I ask all the time.
Yeah. but guys are coming for the right reasons, and yeah. I think that's what kind of has built this winning championship. And I think that'll only, you know, make those things even more prevalent. As the NLI, I think, gets a little bit more big.
Yeah, you got to be able to look beyond hockey, too. Like, what are you going to do after your hockey career? And the tools and the resources we get here for that is the best place to be in the nation.
Yeah, and your senior class, of course, you know, your script's not over. Mm-hmm. Seasons, you know, the numbers are going to change. But as of right now, you've won 112 career games as a senior class. Tied for second all time with the 2005 team. That was a team that David's brother Matt Carl played on. Last year's class, which of course you're juniors, they're first place now.
Yeah.
And so you have that. You've won all four gold pans for CC. You've won the NCHC Penrose Cup, Frozen Faceoff title, three Frozen Four trips so far, and two national titles so far. So looking back, you know, sure, you got another month of the season maybe, but that's a pretty good track record.
Yeah, no, it'll be nice, obviously, after the season to kind of look back on what my 4 years has been like. Obviously, won a lot of games, a lot of big games. And, you know, I just think, you know, memories, the friends that I made along the way, it's just kind of made everything work.
Yeah.
So.
And people always usually focus on the achievements and the winning and those records. But I feel like every single individual and all those teams had some sort of adversity during the time. And that's where how you learn. And I feel like that class especially showed us really good example how to do that.
Yeah, they always say you don't remember the wins and losses nearly as much as you remember the relationships that you built along the way.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. Yeah, like I said, I've met all my best friends here. So I'll have those guys for life. And yeah, it's a pretty special place for that.
You know, and I didn't want to bring this up, but Coach Carl kind of did. I mean, obviously you're from Finland, you're from Canada. Olympics didn't end the way you guys wanted. Although I did see that Finland, I believe, is the only country that's won a medal in hockey ever since the pros were allowed to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, we had a lot of success.
The only team, though, I think.
We won gold medal in last Olympics, but that's
right.
Not the same thing. No, nothing away from those kids, but of course you want to see the best players on the ice. Well, congrats USA. God bless. But it's our time in 4 years.
When are they doing the Four Nations again?
I think the World Cup is next year. So
okay.
It'll be a little bit different, though. I think I have Team North America for the guys that are a little bit younger. So it won't be a true best-on-best Canada versus USA.
Right.
Yeah,
I kind of liked it when they did the North American team of 25 and under.
Yeah.
And they put them together. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, so I think that's going to happen in 2 years here. So
yeah.
That'll be
cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually a little surprised. I thought Sweden was going to be better. And they came in as like the seventh seed, and I was a little surprised about that.
Yeah, they had a tough round of Robin. I thought they played the U.S. pretty hard
in
that quarterfinal game. That was a tough draw. I was pretty impressed with the U.S. Could pull that game out. But yeah, no, it was pretty – pretty disappointing as a Canadian. Obviously, we're pretty proud with how those guys played, but couldn't pull it out.
Well, and it's so funny. I mean, probably because of his age, they didn't make as much of a big deal about it. But, you know, losing a guy like Sidney Crosby for essentially the last two games, I mean, how does that not affect a team?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, like, we even feel it playing. Like, when we lose some of our older guys, like when I've been on teams and older guy goes down, you know, it's kind of a shot, you know, on it and off the ice. So, yeah, things like that make a big difference.
You know, DU's won a couple national championships where the goaltender was the best guy on the ice and got outplayed in the championship game or the semi, and
yeah, no,
goalie
sure.
stole the title. And so, yeah, I mean, it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. No, big games, you need big performances. And
yeah.
That's what Hellebuck had a really good. I can't say that Bennington didn't have a good game either. But
oh, he played well.
That's what he
yeah.
needs.
So, yeah, especially since he's kind of struggled this season by his standards mm-hmm. in the NHL. Mm-hmm. I thought he was tremendous.
He's at like an 870 or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, DU's former head coach, Jim Montgomery, is his coach.
Yeah. No.
And
yeah,
we were like, you got to pick it up for Jim.
No. Yeah. Help out a little bit.
So you got ASU coming in this weekend. You played them November 21st and 22nd, so it's been a while. And like Coach and I were saying, those games in Tempe are just crazy and wild every time you're up there. But they've struggled. They lose one of the best players in the conference to that injury on January 10th, and Colin Potter. Still have a lot of firepower out there. What do you guys need to do to win?
Yeah, like you said, I think they're a better team than record shows. They got one of the best lines in college hockey. They're pretty dynamic offensively, so I just think we've found what makes us successful, I think, in the last month or so. So just, you know, repeating that every game, every practice, which we have been. You know, I think will serve us to have some success here on the weekend. Obviously, carry that into playoffs as well. Like, you want to be feeling good about your game going into playoffs.
Go ahead. They're also battling their life right now. They're also playing like as we do, but if they're a lose, they're done. So.
Or they could go up to like six, you know.
Yeah,
so never,
right.
you don't really know, yeah. But it's gonna be interesting. Yeah, they always seem to have a great power play. They always have a lot of up and down players. It seems like their goaltenders have struggled this season, and it's probably good for you guys to try to put up and keep that heater going.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've kind of added on what I said earlier. Like, we're going to see teams in the tournament who are as dynamic, if not more dynamic, as them offensively. So just, you know, like getting used to the way they play in transition and stuff like that will serve us well for when the tournament does come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, protecting our house and just not shorting the ring for them is probably going to lead for create offensive chances for us as well.
I heard it was like 92 degrees in Phoenix this week, so they might be coming in with sunburns. Maybe hit them a little harder against the boards, rub up against them a little bit, get that sunburn going.
A little altitude too.
You know? I mean, it's been 68 here. That's not sunburn.
No.
That's not sunburn.
It's frostbite.
You know? So, all right. Well, you guys got a big weekend coming up. Last regular season home weekend. You've totally turned this season around, you know, and one of the reasons why is you guys all switched up your offensive lines and put Johnny Hicks in there, and you haven't lost since.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, the lines we have 12, 13, 14 grade forwards. So I just think, you know, anyone can play with anyone. It's nice that we found some chemistry, me, Samu, and Reader, and the other lines as well. And Johnny's been awesome for us. I think he's like 6-0-1 since he came in. He's a great kid. You know, he prepares like a pro. Every day, every practice day, every game day. He's a guy that you root for as well.
Name. I mean, when I heard we had a Johnny Hicks coming, I thought he's either a country western star or he drives for NASCAR.
Yeah.
You know, I thought one of the two, or maybe he does both.
Yeah.
You know? But he's a Manitoba kid, I think, isn't he?
BC.
BC?
Yeah.
BC.
Yeah, I think Clark's Manitoba.
I get my provinces confused.
That's a little tricky.
Yes. My sister lives in Alberta, so I only know Calgary.
That's a good problem.
I know Calgary. That's
yeah.
it. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for taking the time. This is the last one of the season. So, you know, end of an era.
Yeah, crazy. Thanks for having
us on.
All right. And I hope to see you in Loveland. You know, I'm still trying to get on as the color analyst in Loveland.
Yeah.
We'll see you there. And
yeah.
then Vegas after.
That's right, Vegas for sure.
We'll see you
if you're
in Vegas,
I'm in Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm in Vegas, right?
Awesome.
I may not be broadcasting, but I'll make it to the game.
Perfect.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
All right. That was Rieger Lorenz and Samu Salminen, seniors for the Pioneer Hockey Team, as they have their final regular season weekend coming up against Arizona State. We'll take a break, come back with the legendary dog father, Marty Richardson, as well as his hot young intern. Coming back to the Campus Lounge after this.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and carbonation elevates the taste for a truly stunning flavor profile. Bon appétit.
Now that is one perfect combination. If this is how the other half lives, I could get used to this. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
Hi, this is Todd Usry, president of Breckenridge Brewery. When we settled into Littleton, we wanted it to feel like home to everyone who visited. So we built the Farmhouse Restaurant. The comfort food menu is made to complement the fresh beer brewed right here on site. My personal favorite spot is the beer garden. I love sitting next to the fire, listening to bluegrass with a beer, looking out at the open mountain view. Stop by on the weekends for brunch or come see us anytime. Check out breckbrew.com for more info. Here at the Farmhouse, you're always in good company.
Healthcare with human kindness is here. It's at Common Spirit Health. Hospitals, clinics, and caregivers all connected to advance healthcare in Colorado, Kansas, and Utah. Together, we have a common purpose, partnering with you in health and healing using powerful medicine, powerful technology, and the greatest power of all, human kindness. You'll know it when you see it, because human kindness is in every care site and in every caregiver. Common Spirit Health. Hello, human kindness.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and carbonation elevates the taste for a truly stunning flavor profile. Bon appétit.
Now that is one perfect combination. If this is how the other half lives, I could get used to this. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
All right, Jay Stickney back at the legendary Campus Lounge, a pioneer institution for way too many years. And we're right off University Boulevard and Exposition. And joining me now, as he has all season long, and really last season a little bit as well, is the dog father, Marty Richardson from Dog Nation, who, of course, they are really angels on earth. I mean, for lack of a better term, what Marty and his hockey brethren do is basically help promote and save lives for people that are all in the hockey-related community, but they're people going through really hard times in their lives or have gone through hard times, and all they do is show up with checks and support and help and everything else. And every time I have you on, I always have no words. How do you describe what Marty Richardson does other than, you know, help save the world, you know?
There you go. Thank you, buddy.
Sure. And you've got this intern, you know, and you've had some trouble with interns in the past, and this guy so far, you know, is doing all right, but that's pioneer defenseman and emergency goaltender Alec Whipple. And Alec was on a local TV story here last year. He also is in the ROTC program, although DU doesn't technically have a ROTC program of their own, so he shares it at the Metropolitan, Metro State and CU Denver campus. And I've heard right now, Coach says you're going through a bunch of the swimming and fitness tests.
Yeah, we just finished up a bunch of, they're called the Cadet Advanced Individual Training. You ultimately test in for these schools, and so each school has like its own kind of selection process, you know, depending on what you want to try and do. So, yeah, a Special Forces dive school, that's one you can try out for, although the odds of getting that are pretty slim, but at least got to throw your hat in the ring and see if you have what it takes, at least to get your foot in the door. And so myself and one of my friends at DU, we just finished that up. So who knows what comes of that. And then there are some other long ruck marches and stuff that will put you in a good spot to go to some other stuff like airborne or air assault school. And so just trying to get your foot in the door and do something cool over the summer, but we'll kind of see what happens from there.
Well, the thing about the Special Forces, at least you're training in a swimming pool and not the Pacific Ocean. I highly recommend that.
You start in the pool and then they throw you in the ocean if you're lucky to even get there, but we'll see what happens. Yeah.
All right, and, again, you've been in the lineup a little bit off and on. Last year you seem to have more action than this year, and so often it just really depends on the guys that they bring in and then, of course, injury.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's kind of – I understand, like, I'm here for hockey, and then, also the military is what I'm going to go do when I'm done, so I think – the way I kind of look at it is, I love to be here and contribute as much as I can. And when my name and number is called, it's, hey, we expect you to be able to jump in and play and contribute. And, when you're not playing, it's like, hey, get ready to commission and go serve. And so it's kind of like you have a dual purpose here, which I enjoy because, yeah, I mean, you might have hard days with hockey sometimes, but, you know, if you have some other purpose to be able to put kind of your mind and effort towards, like, it makes a world of a difference. So I can't really be luckier to have a coaching staff and environment with these guys who support me doing both. So I love it.
When you came in from Minnesota, from Excelsior, Minnesota, were you recruited or pursued like the Air Force Academy hockey team, or I know West Point has a hockey team. I know Navy does. I've never done a game versus Navy or Army, but yeah. We've played Air Force pretty much every year.
Yeah, Air Force is kind of – I talked to them for a little while, like after my first year junior, but not much came of it. And so it was really just Denver and West Point. And, you know, I kind of saw West Point. That's, you go there and you realize pretty fast if it's for you or not. And I kind of realized that's what I wanted to do. And then when Denver came and offered after just wanted, it was kind of like, okay, you can't really say no to that. Like, it's kind of your childhood dream of – I mean, really every hockey player's dream of playing at a school like here. And so it's – yeah, the opportunity to try and make both happen. Like, no one, I don't think, had tried to do it before. But, you know, the coach was like, you can try and see what happens. Like, it might not be easy all the time, but so far it's worked out. And you can be luckier to play in a spot like here. So,
well, I think what guys like you, what people don't understand is that you train, practice, have the exact same commitment as every single hockey player that gets out there and plays 20 or 25 minutes every game. And I think that's almost a harder commitment. I've also seen it like with walk-on goaltenders or third goalies. They have the same level of intensity and commitment, even though you know your chances of playing really come down to, you know, a random injury or all of a sudden someone's not playing well.
Yep. No, that's the reality of it, and you know, I've come to accept that. And so it's when those times do come and you find yourself in a position where, hey, you know, you might step up and be able to play, it's – okay, like you're expected to be able to jump in and help, and there's not really any slack that is kind of just going to be left, and the expectations aren't really going to be there. So you got to keep yourself ready, but, you know, at the same time, like I kind of use that as, you know, the military, like you always are training for something, you know, whether you get sent or not, right? And so you do have to stay ready all the time. And that's kind of something I talked to DC about. Like it's a similar mentality in a very different environment, but I think there's a lot of lessons to be taken from hockey and the situation I'm in right now, and that's kind of how I like to frame it.
All right. Well, we're here with Alec Whipple and Marty Richardson from Dog Nation. I did hear, I believe it was yesterday, you went to go visit a young boy that has cystic fibrosis.
Cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy, sorry, cerebral palsy.
Yep.
And you were able to spend the day with him, play some bubble hockey. And what's that like going to help kids and to be part of this Dog Nation?
Well, it's cool. I'll tell you a little bit of backstory from how, you know, Marty and I kind of get hooked up. It was through actually Matty Davis last year. He and Marty have been close. And after kind of hearing about the Dog Bowl and then guys kind of said that was a fun thing to play in the past and then understanding, okay, what's really behind the Dog Bowl is Dog Nation. And, you know, after playing there and you see the impact that they have on people's lives and, like, the surprise that on these people's faces as they're going through tough times in life and there's someone that can help and lift them up. What you and Dog Nation do is like, okay, you know, I'm here doing some other stuff, like hockey and, you know, some other stuff. Like, I think that would be something that would be cool to be involved with. And so, yeah, I went to see Everett last night, who, yeah, cerebral palsy, is 11 and plays sled hockey. And he came to a couple games a few weeks ago, and so I promised him I'd get him a hat that was signed by all the boys, and so I was able to deliver that and then play bubble hockey with him, and he actually beat me pretty good. But
yeah, that's just an incredible thing, and of course Marty, every time that we're here, you know, is either, you know, helping support somebody or writing a check to somebody. And Marty, obviously you guys got a lot of things coming up. Tell everybody about some of these plans that you can, because I know you surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, no,
and you don't want to say it.
Yeah, not a big surprise, but Monday, which is just next week, we're going to be out in L.A., and a lot of people heard about the Santa Clarita U-12 hockey team that had a terrible accident on I-70, and a plow truck had come across, killed one of the hockey dads, put 8 in the hospital, and one of the moms just got back, actually. She'd been in the hospital whole time, and L.A. Kings reached out, and we'd been raising money for them, and on Monday night, I'm sure the Avs broadcast will probably cover that, but we're going to give a $50,000 check to the Santa Clarita, and that's
that
not really
awesome.
Dog Nation.
That is amazing.
That's the whole hockey community of Colorado, and And so hats off to everybody out there that donated, because it was hundreds of people.
And it's not going to be a surprise.
They know how much it is, and they actually had me write up a PA announcement that they're going to read it during the thing. So that's next week. And then in a couple weeks, this guy's going to be at it too. I was looking at the schedule. It looks like it works. On March 17th, it's a Tuesday, St. Patrick's Day, and we're going to have our comedy night. That's when Jared Bednar comes out, and I think Gabe Landeskog's joining us this year, Michel Goulet, some big names. We raise a bunch of money that night, and it's going to be a cool night for that one too. And DU always steps up on that one.
And you got one of the best comedians in the nation, a Denver kid that has done well.
Yeah, and cerebral palsy again is what we talked about. And that's Josh Blue, and he's going to bring the house down like he always does.
Always does. So good. Yeah. So good. Not a one-trick wonder. I mean, he's been around now like 10 years.
At least.
Traveling, you know. Yeah. I say 10 because I always,
well, you know,
I always
know
try
how,
to do about half.
I know it's longer than that because, believe it or not, our very, very first Stand Up for Dog Nation comedy event was in 2011.
Okay.
May of 2011. And Josh Blue was our headliner.
So 15 years ago, he was already the headliner.
He was already our headliner.
All right. So it's probably been closer to 20.
Yeah.
20. Yeah. What a great story that is. And that L.A. trip, I mean, that's tremendous. I was telling Marty off the air a little bit that the director of hockey operations, the guy you know very well, Travis Culhane, is the video coordinator for the L.A. Kings now, left Denver to go live in his car in L.A. The good news is the wife, I think, is a substitute teacher, so they can lean back on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Travis, I'm sure, would love to help out any way he could.
Love it. Yeah, it's going to be an exciting one. We're going to get spoiled there. I'm taking Hannah Westbrook with me, and Hannah Westbrook is she runs a lot of the women's and girls hockey in Colorado, and she's a tremendous hockey player herself, but she's going to go out there with me as well, and one of the family members of that team is going to – they're red carpeting us. We're going to actually go out on their boat in Newport Beach, and so it's going to be a pretty awesome trip.
I think one of my favorite parts was when they had the boys, the under 10s or whatever, and they all went out to watch the girls' team play when they were here in Colorado, and they're all like singing and coming up with chants and then meeting the girls when they came off the locker. I thought that was just awesome.
Yeah, it should be an amazing night, and hats off to the LA Kings for reaching out. They don't have to do that. They're actually inviting the entire team, picking up all of their tickets and the whole bit, so it's pretty neat.
That is awesome. Well, Alec, Marty, thank you so much for taking the time. I got to wrap things up here. It's the last show here at the Campus Lounge for this season, which sounds really dramatic, but we only usually do three or four. There we go. Three or four, whatever.
Yeah.
It's going to be DU and Arizona State Friday and Saturday night at Magnus Arena, Saturday night on Altitude Television with my beautiful mug. But I want to say thank you to everybody involved at 104.3 The Fan for all their help. Everybody at the Campus Lounge, incredible Pioneer Institution. I'm Jay Stickney saying goodnight from Campus Lounge. We'll talk to you next year.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and